League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we got lots to talk about here tonight on Soccer Matters. First, a big shout out to Cody, Brad, and Jake. I appreciate the promotion following you guys. So thank you very much for that. Andrew Carlson doing double duty as usual has helped us put it together here tonight, and we got a lot to talk about. A couple of things to set the table here. Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad will be on the show. This is about 27 minutes. I'm going to tell you, when I taped this interview, and it is a taped interview, we're going to do it in two parts in the second hour. When I taped this interview, it seemed like we did about 12 to 14 minutes. What I like about the transparency of the Dynamo General Manager, Pat Onstad, is transparency, number one. But number two, he's not afraid to listen to you, in other words. And I like that. And you're able to ask questions that I think are the ones that, fans want to know from. So we're going to talk about everything, Marlos, Sebastian Ferreira, what the plan is with Darwin Quintero, what are the most important positional needs now next after the signing of Ferreira, who, by the way, is the biggest signing in Dynamo history with combined transfer fee and salary. And he still has to prove himself in Major League Soccer. But listen, there's a lot of things pointing that this guy is going to be a very, very good goal scorer. We'll talk to Pat Onstad. And also, we'll talk to Adam Lundquist about the qualities that this guy possesses. So you can get a little bit of a different take from the guys who are in and around him now. Because it's easy for all of us on the outside to look at a few videos and then make a decision. We're going to talk some AFCON here because there's been crazy stuff in the African Cup of Nations, including... In five of the six round of 16 games played so far, there have been red cards. So we'll talk about that. And, of course, this just utter tragedy at the Cameroon-Comoros match where people died. Trampled, killed. What do you say? I mean, there's nothing you can say. It's just like everything going on here when you hear these senseless killings. What do you say? I mean, there's nothing you can say. So 713-780-3776 tonight. First couple of segments, it's going to be, you'll have to put up with me in this segment. Two and three, Eddie Robinson's going to join me. We're going to talk U.S. Men's National Team in El Salvador. That's coming up on Thursday. I know a lot of people are going to be watching that game. By the way, El Salvador is coached by Hugo Perez, who was once a U.S. national team player and a very, very talented one at the time. In fact, one of the most technical players in that time period with the U.S. So Ben, Eddie, and I will do some Dynamo talk. I'm going to tease you this first hour with a couple of sound bites from the Pat Onstad interview. So then the second hour is going to be Pat Onstad interview, and it's also going to be Adam Lundquist. And, you know, not pulling any punches. You know, I said to Adam, this is a bad season last year. What'd you do after the season? How did you process it? What did you do mentally? What did you do physically? And you know, these are real, you know, these are real questions you have to ask, right? Because it can't be, hey, it's all fixed now. It's not. There's a lot of work to be done. But in saying that, the new owner has had an impact. Brought in Hedeby. Is paying for a sporting director. Brought in Pat Onstad, who brought in the sporting director. All the new staff that's come in. Deal's been cut with Fubo. You got an under 23 team here now. I mean, these are all upgrades. These are all upgrades. I'm loving the ticket pricing. I'm seeing single tickets on sale. I mean, this is all coming from the owner because this wasn't happening before. These were all very, very obvious things to all of us that were needed here. I mean, how many years have we been talking about? Let's get some real pricing. I mean, when your product is down, you have to kind of maybe cut the price a little bit. Try to get more people in the building, younger people, creating that, you know, ticket that's kind of cheap. Maybe you move it out underground, make it a fun thing. And you get youth in there and college players or people that want to buy a ticket, you know, that's reasonable. At that point, you got to try to get people exposed to the product. I never understood this. We're going to hold our line on ticket pricing. Well, you're not the Rolling Stones. You know, you're not going to get your price. That's why nobody's going to the games. So I love seeing all the new ticketing pricing and the differing things that are going on here. I think that's very, very positive. So we'll talk a lot about that tonight here. Again, it's Andrew Carlson behind the glass. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in tonight. And if you want to talk right now about the Houston Dynamo, you want to talk about the African Cup of Nations, you got something to say right now. It's your time. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. Tonight, as always, this show is presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Presenting sponsors of this show, also the show in Austin, DaspitLawAustin.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they get us on the air. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Again, their number to call, 713-322-HURT, if you have a case, and they are bilingual. All right, our great friend Tom Clare, the great author, who's authored many, many books on Manchester United. I mean, he's a walking encyclopedia. Had a quick conversation with him today. He still continues to fight cancer, had a bit of a tough day. I asked him if it was okay if I talked about this on the air. He said it was okay. Tom teaches me a lesson every day. Freddie Reyes teaches me a lesson every day. Cancer patients teach me a lesson every day. And it's so close to all of us. It's so obvious that your problems may not be that bad. Certainly mine aren't. So I thank Tom for that gift every day. And Tom's saying is, I just got to get on with it, Glenn. And in other words, I'm going to just keep fighting. And I love it. The man is inspirational. Now, he's headed to Munich, Germany to be part of the 64-year anniversary of the Munich air disaster. And actually, Tom has told me about this. I would love to go to this with him. Him and his wife are going to go, and he's not feeling great. He is going to lay wreaths in honor of the Busby Babes. But he went on to tell me, he said, it's absolutely remarkable what Bayern Munich does to help honor those that perished in that infamous Munich air disaster, including Duncan Edwards. So, you know, I just found it amazing listening him to talk about that. He'll head out next week. He also got a book from an author friend of his named Wayne Barton. It's called True Genius. He got it for me, and we're going to bring Wayne Barton on the show at some point. It is the complete untold story of George Best. And you're probably going, oh, yeah, it's about the drinking and the women and, you know, playing the after party and all. No, it's absolutely not like that. This is a book that's written about Best. It's simply about him and football, not the drinking, not the women. By the way, it's 475 pages of George Best in football. All right, give me a call, 713-780-3776. Tragedy at AFCON. All right, so Oh, God. Several people were killed, dozen more injured outside of Olembi Stadium, Yaoundé, during the African Cup of Nations match. It was between Cameroon and Comoros. Comoros is sort of an island that's in the competition. If you've been watching this games on BN, I don't know if you have been. There's been some amazing football, and it's been done on, you know, some pretty poor fields and, you know, in environments where you go, man, that guy just pulled that play off on this surface. I mean, this isn't Premier League surfaces, right? And if that was something that was done in the Premier League, that thing would be looped and we'd see it till, you know, the sun went down. So back to the people that get trampled. Confederation of African, the CAF, that's their federation. They're investigating. Fans rushed the south entrance. So the stadium apparently held 60,000. They're saying 50,000 were trying to get in, but the attendance was supposed to be capped at about 48,000. So, of course, Cameroon's having a great run. They're hosting. They're the host nation. They say people were climbing fences, going over barricades. It was chaos. Some of the gates were closed, apparently. And this is going to come down as another senseless stadium tragedy, which we get those. Now, they were supposed to host this tournament back in 2019. They had it taken away due to concerns of them being, I mean, for lack of any better words, able to execute the running of a tournament of this nature. You know, what came to my mind was calling a lot of games that I have called, a lot of World Cup qualifiers for the U.S. men's national team and tournaments in El Salvador. And what, you know, immediately came to mind was, you know, the archaic nature of stadiums. You know, Cuscatlan Stadium in El Salvador is literally concrete. It's, when I was there, it was falling apart. Guatemala Stadium, same kind of thing. So in Central America, you see these things logistically that you do not see in the U.S. from the standpoint maybe of game day operations and infrastructure. I mean, you look at Major League Soccer and the quality of these stadiums now, it rivals anything. And that said, we had a nightmare concert tragedy here in Houston recently. But human behavior, it's got to be factored in. Poor execution of event operations, rushing barricades, climbing fences, one has to wonder. But you know what? This all happened before the game. The show went on. All right, let's talk about some of the results because we're into the round of 16. Now, tomorrow we got a very, very good game. Ivory Coast and Egypt, and then Mali and Equatorial Guinea. Five out of the six, as I mentioned, five out of the first six round of 16 games have had red cards. Gabon, Nigeria, Comoros, Cape Verde all had to play a man down. Guinea and Gambia, both teams had players red carded. So advancing was Burkina Faso on penalties. I think they've got some huge political problems going on in Burkina Faso. Nigeria lost to Tunisia. That one made me sad. Youssef Sakni, 47th minute. Tough for Nigeria. They dominated a lot of the statistical and data categories. Had a guy sent off. Gambia 1-0 against Guinea. Moussa Baro, the goal scorer there. Cameroon 2-1 over Comoros. That's the aforementioned nightmare event that saw people lose their lives. Ekambi Boubacar for Cameroon. And then Senegal 2-0 over Cape Verde. Sadio Mane and Bamba Dieng. Can we roll Bamba's goal call, Andrew? Do you mind?
No, it's two against one. Chance to finish it off here. Back inside again. And Senegal finally get their second. Well, it was almost inevitable. Bamba Dieng will celebrate.
So Bamba Dieng got the second. Sadio Mane got the first. By the way, Jamiro Montero of the Philadelphia Union was playing for Cape Verde. So there's been a number of MLS players in the competition as well. We had Morocco 2-1 over Malawi. And, yeah, let's hear the well, this was a cracking goal to start it off in the 10th minute from Malawi from Gabadinho Mango.
Mango. And he goes for goal from a long way out. Oh, it's a sensational strike from Malawi. Unbelievable goal from Gabadinho Mahango, and Malawi have struck an early blow against Morocco.
Mahango. Morocco would score two. Youssef En-Nesyri and Achraf Hakimi. And they would advance. So tomorrow got Ivory Coast, Egypt, Mali, Equatorial Guinea. People die. We go on. It's pretty nuts. Eddie Robinson is going to join me next. We're going to talk a number of different things. We got Danish Dynamite tonight with Jan Christensen of Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, talking about Mikal Ure, who is the number one scorer in the Danish Super League and expected to join the Philadelphia Union. I don't know if that deal's done yet. We can find out. So that's what we got. So stick with us. Second hour, it'll be all about the Dynamo General Manager, Pat Onstad, and Dynamo left back, Adam Lundqvist. Break time, it's brought to you by FM Kitchen and Bar, two locations, Montrose and Westheimer, and my favorite, just north of Washington on Shepherd. I should have known this right from the start.
Only hope can... ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew...
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Tunisia on the march, on the edge of the area. Shot! Oh, goal! Along the ground, catches the goalkeeper. Koye and Tunisia have the lead. Youssef Mseknyi is back, and he is back in style.
Yeah, so a lot of Nigerian Super Eagle fans going a little bit over the top. There were death threats to their goalkeeper, Maduka Okoye, after that goal, and also Alex Iwobi. So isn't that wonderfully uplifting? Footballers receiving death threats. Okay. I was sad for Nigeria because I wanted Nigeria to advance with that great Nigerian culture we have here in Houston. Hopefully... anybody who was tweeting out death threats to the players weren't from Houston. But Nigeria dominated in a lot of categories in that game. It was kind of too bad for the Super Eagles. They go down to Tunisia 1-0 in the round of 16. A couple of quick things here. I just want to do a quick mention here. We will have Jan Christensen, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. We're going to roll his Danish Dynamite. We are going to talk with Eddie Robinson about the U.S. men's national team. I just wanted to touch very, very quickly on here something that I think is pretty interesting from the standpoint of U.S. fans and MLS fans, really, when it comes to TV and MLS TV rights and streaming rights. There is a package on the table. MLS is now seeking rights of over $300 million. Now, remember, that's... $90 million when we heard that MLS was getting split amongst the networks, if you remember. We thought that was pretty big money. Yeah, ESPN, Fox, Univision, and ABC splitting that. Now, asking for $300 million is an increase of 233% in comparison to that $90 million deal. Now, what MLS is seeing now is that the NFL, NBA, they're doing deals in the billions. NASCAR's at $300 million on Fox and FS1. The NHL's at $225 million on TNT and TBS. MLS wants theirs. The problem is they don't get the ratings. Big increases in rights fees. That's kind of jump-starting MLS to try to get more. And those big fees are going to the NFL and the NBA. And even the NHL has quite frankly, turned a lot of heads now at $225 million. And NBC, by the way, went from $167 million to $450 million in the United States for the Premier League. They did not want to lose those rights. All right, with that, we bring in, he is someone you'll see on all the Dynamo broadcasts always. He's been on the show many times, former Dynamo defender, Eddie Robinson. Eddie.
What's going on, Glenn?
All right, welcome in. Do I need to send you a cup of coffee down there? Do I need to walk you off the ledge because Nigeria lost? What's up?
No. I'm all good. I'm just enjoying life and enjoying soccer and enjoying AFCON and enjoying the Premier League and the Bundesliga and everything that he's got going for us. And obviously the excitement around tomorrow, the event for you and I to talk about the Dynamo's preseason and what's to come for this season.
Yeah, 1 to 3 o'clock, we're going to be down near the Houston Sports Park at a facility where Eddie and I are going to talk about schedule, talk about the team, have some opinion, have some fun. We'll be interviewing players, so it'll be a two-hour live event tomorrow. And I think that's on Facebook, right, Eddie? Is that Facebook?
Yes, sir. Facebook okay. Live.
Cool. All right, so join us for that. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. Eddie, let's get into the U.S. men's national team. El Salvador on Thursday. They got three games in this window with Canada and also Honduras. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious you got to take 7 points here, get closer to that goal of getting to the World Cup, which is going to be about a year from now. Any overall thoughts on the U.S. national team and the roster and kind of what you think Greg Berhalter is going to put out against El Salvador?
There's one surprise for me that John Brooks is not involved. That's surprising for me. And Greg Berhalter said in an interview that his current form wasn't good. I'm not sure I agree with that, but Greg Berhalter has been doing pretty well during this qualifying period. But the one thing that really stands out to me is that midfield. The United States national team of Tyler Adams, Weston McKennie, and Yunus Musa. I mean, this is not the best midfield that the United States has ever had. I'd love for you to argue with me.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you because I think that's the three set they'll go with. And, you know, this is probably going to be much, if not all, of a European-based starting lineup, I would think. And to your point, Chris Richards has been playing well in the Bundesliga, has gotten a lot of minutes, and now has gotten World Cup qualifiers before him. So maybe it's him and Mark McKenzie that play together. McKenzie may be the only MLS player that gets a start in this game, potentially.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, let's just go back 5 years. And how many players would play in World Cup qualifiers that weren't part of Major League Soccer? It's incredible how quickly things have changed and how quickly the world game of soccer has started to recognize, okay, these U.S. players now we can depend on, we can count on, they're good enough to be a part of this. It's amazing. I mean, you look at Leia in France and the guys in Germany and it's fun to watch.
Aronson, and now they want Aronson's brother, Adams, McKennie. Pulisic really started the wave. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, Matt Turner, a guy who didn't even pick up soccer till late in his career, is being looked at by Arsenal now.
Well,
Arsenal's
look,
interested in him.
I had a media vote for Best 11 last season, and he was my goalkeeper of the year. He's the one I voted for. I mean, I thought he did incredible, and when you add that to what he did with the national team, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see him achieve, you know, something similar to what Tim Howard did in the Premier League. Nobody expected Tim Howard to go to Manchester United and be the, you know, goalkeeper of the year, right? The player's pick for goalkeeper of the year while he was there. And
Never forget that, Eddie. I never forget it. I was at the Meadowlands on his debut in a friendly for Manchester United against Juventus, and I was just like, just have a good game, Tim. You know, just, you know, huge crowd, and he played well. But, you know, eventually it was Everton where he made his, you know, legacy as a goalkeeper in the Premier League. By the way, DC United, here's another one that goes into this pot of all the attention American players are getting. Kevin Paredes to Wolfsburg of DC United. Yeah. They're saying over $7 million. He's 18 years old.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy, but it's so much fun to really watch and see how far the game has come in the United States and really what's a short period of time compared to the rest of the world. Because you're talking about clubs that are 60, 70, 80, 100 years old versus the clubs in MLS that are 26 years old. There's some that are 5 years old, 10 years old, the expansion teams. And to see where the game has come in this country is so much fun to watch. And it's so much fun to talk about all of these things and all of these different players and who does what. And it makes it difficult on Greg Berhalter, but I'm sure he enjoys it. As you always say, it's a champagne problem, right?
Yep, that is a champagne problem. By the way, let's think about this a little bit. It ultimately means player development has improved in this country. It's definitely, I remember the years I was on the radio saying, okay, now it's going to come down to the pro clubs in MLS to produce the best, get the best, produce the best. And it's happened in a lot of markets. The sad thing is, and not to be Debbie Downer here, because we're getting into a more positive phase with the Dynamo. The sad thing is because the Dynamo really, from an investment standpoint, never prioritized producing players. They're not in the game right now when it comes to buying and selling. That's the sad thing, because the market's at a high right now for the American player, as you so aptly put out, when it comes to their value in the eyes of Europe. And it's kind of a shame because the timing's there. It's a lot of money left on the table. So anyway, Eddie, I thought you'd find this interesting. I don't know if you saw this. I want to hear what you think about this, though. So Greg Berhalter is really focused on travel. The U.S. Soccer Director of Events, Paul Marsteller, said in October, quote, if we were the Senate, the manager would have 51% of the vote. That's when it's down to where the U.S. men's national team will play its home games. So he goes on to tell a little bit of a story in this article, Jeff Carlisle, that he wrote, that since Canada's the middle game for the U.S. after this game on Thursday against El Salvador, the U.S. had a choice of venues to play El Salvador. When it looked like Canada was going to play Vancouver, the U.S. Soccer Federation was going to either play this qualifier against El Salvador in San Jose or Portland. But then Canada switched to Tim Hortons Field near Toronto, and then, you know, all of a sudden things changed for the U.S., and Berhalter then said either Columbus or St. Paul. So, yeah, I find that pretty interesting because he doesn't want to be traveling all over the place with the knowledge of where that second game is. He wants the travel times cut shorter and every advantage you can get, huh?
Without question. I mean, before our team came to Houston, when we were in San Jose, we had six-hour flights to Boston, to New Jersey, to Washington, D.C. In the very first season, we also had Miami and Tampa in 2001. So those flights take a toll on you. You get dehydrated because the air is dry. There's not enough nutrition on board. When you can cut that travel time down, you can control the environment that the players are in. And that's so important because of sports nutrition and how far science has come. And you've got to make sure the players don't get injured because they got to, you know, Weston McKinney's got to go back to Juventus. And Tyler Adams has got to go back to Red Bull. And Christian Pulisic's got to go back to Chelsea. So you've got to make sure that your players are healthy, and I think that's really a good strategic move by Greg Berhalter and his staff in the U.S. Soccer Federation. You want to keep it close as possible. And Columbus, I mean, how much success, how many amazing games has the United States had in Columbus over the years? I mean,
yeah, that's where it'll be.
That's just kind of been the mecca of U.S. soccer and World Cup qualifying and winning games. It's Columbus. Where it's at.
And that's where it'll be on Thursday again. So It's going to be interesting. Eddie Robinson joining us here. You'll see him tomorrow, 1 to 3. We'll both be on a live Facebook event for the Houston Dynamo, kind of a kickoff event. We're looking forward to that. We're going to have some fun. The U.S. will open up their World Cup qualifying in this round on Thursday against El Salvador before going to play Canada. Now, Canada right now is on 8 points, the U.S. on 7, Mexico on 4. There was a story out that Tata Martino, after the Canada game, said to the players that he would step down if they wanted him to. I think it's time for us to kind of take a look at the U.S. lineup. Zach Seffen or Matt Turner in goal for you? That's an interesting one.
Well, you know, Matt Turner has absolutely performed outstanding, but he's been in an off season. Zach Seffen has been training every day. He hasn't gotten a lot of games. He's been playing in the League Cup, and he's gotten a few games in, but he's been training every day. So it comes down to who's on form, you know, and that's a tough question because you got to give Matt Turner credit for what he's done up to this point, especially last season and with the U.S. national team. But you got to look at, hey, he hasn't been training. He's been in the offseason, and Zach Seffen has been in season. He's played games in the Premier League for Manchester City. So there's a ton of pressure on him that he's been able to deal with. So I think it's a tough question, but if it were me and if it were up to me, I'd go with Zach Seffen simply because he's been training, he's played some games, he's probably a little bit fitter and a little bit sharper.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any question. This is going to be a predominantly European-based lineup because of what you just said, and that applies to a lot of other positions. So I'm just going to whip off an 11, and then you can test some of the positions. So Sergiño Dest right back, Mark McKenzie partnered with either Richards or Zimmerman. Richards is probably going to maybe get the nod there, even though Zimmerman played so well against Mexico. Maybe Richards gets that because he's playing in the Bundesliga. Anthony Robinson out wide. Tyler Adams, McKinney, Musa in midfield, to your point. Pulisic, Pepe, and is it Aronson or Weah? And again, I don't know about injuries or necessarily all the form of certain people, but that plays a part in this too. But, boy, that's a pretty solid-sounding 11.
I would really find it hard to leave out Zimmerman because of, as you just mentioned, his performance against Mexico was outstanding. Maybe the best game he's had. And then, you know, the midfield I think is set. But when you go to that front three, Timothy Weah, everybody likes him. Greg Berhalter really likes him, and he's quietly growing. I think when he first came into the national team, he wasn't necessarily mature enough to handle CONCACAF, but I think that's changed.
And then Eddie, hey, let's hit a break here. Let's come back. When we come back, we're going to switch gears. We're going to play some sound from Pat Onstad out of the interview, and you and I are going to start switching gears here to the Houston Dynamo. By the way, next segment, and this is a nice opportunity here to quickly just mention FM Kitchen and Bar. Two locations down on Montrose near Westheimer. Second one is Shepherd, just north of Washington. Big outdoor patio. Great place, both of them, to watch a national team game on Thursday. All right, Dave Clark 5, Bits and Pieces, takes you to break. We're coming back. We'll start some Dynamo talk. And we will take your phone calls.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.
Okay.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, let me do a little business here. First, we start with Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. Get over to Fondren. Go over there, see Jan Christensen. Their furniture should be on your bucket list. Longtime sponsors of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. You will hear Jan's Danish Dynamite maybe in the second hour, I think, tonight. It's a two-minute piece. He picks out something that's Danish-related. But again, they've got the stressless line over there. Get over there. It's danishinspirations.com. And also, please don't forget Advantage BMW in Midtown. Leasing and buying a BMW can be easy at Advantage BMW Midtown. You ask for Justin. You ask for Stephen Prather. Advantage BMW in Midtown. They'll take you through the process, getting a sedan, getting an SUV. They'll cover you. Sales, service, finance, it's easy. Get the hometown advantage at Advantage BMW in Midtown. Go in there, see Stephen and Justin. So thanks to those great longtime sponsors, by the way. They've been with me for a long time, which, by the way, 20 years, Eddie Robinson, on the radio. I don't know if that's good or bad.
That's really good. That's awesome.
Man. I thought you were about to say, that's bad. That's bad. Yeah, it's amazing. It's pretty crazy. All right, so let's get into some Dynamo talk here. And listen, listeners out there, 713-780-3776 if you want to join Eddie and I. I want to start off with just dropping a soundbite here from Pat Onstad. This first one we're going to drop, this is Pat on potential new signings.
Well, we're hoping to get someone in the building by then. That's the plan. I don't know if we get two in the building, but hopefully one. The window doesn't close until April 20th, so we have some time to get the second one in, but we expect to get both in before the window closes, and that we'll be able to build with this group going into the summer.
So the Dynamo picked up their exciting striker, biggest signing ever for the Houston Dynamo, Sebastian Ferreira. And Pat's saying there, Eddie, that he wants to get one or two more into the building before the end of the deadline.
Yeah, I mean, we got to be honest. The Dynamo midfield is not good enough. I think you could say the same thing about the defense when you look at the last few years, about how many goals the Dynamo have given up. So there's got to be something. And if you're going with, you know, we've brought in Ferreira, and apparently that's a record signing. I don't know why the Dynamo won't tell us how much they actually paid for him. It doesn't make sense. If it's a record signing, say it, show us, tell us how much you paid. Let us judge you on that. Will he, you know, score goals like he's expected to do? But the Dynamo have got to get some other players in if they want to be competitive, because I still don't think the roster is strong enough.
Yeah, but to be fair to them, we knew this is going to be a big, big remake. I mean, this roster that's being inherited, it's tough. And, you know, finally you have an owner now that's going to release funds, is going to compete to get better players. I don't want to spoil the Pat Onstad interview, because we do ask the question of what the priority is when it comes forward, but we may have to talk about it anyway. I would just go to midfield, and one of the things I've really focused on is really a good holding midfielder. You know, listen, Austin FC got raked for a ton of goals last year. They got hit on the counterattack. They gave up bad goals. The Dynamo did too. They went out and got a holding midfielder that they believe is going to be their pivot player, and it's going to allow others to do other things. And that guy's name is Johan Valencia, 25 years old, played for Deportivo Cali. I look at the Dynamo and I say, you know, and I will ask this in this interview with Pat, you know, Darwin Seren, Matias Vera, Derek Jones. Somebody's going to have to emerge if another six isn't going to be brought in out of those three.
Yeah, and you know, hearing the rumors about what Matias Vera has been re-signed for, he's going to have to really perform this year. He's going to have to step up and be that guy. He's going to have to be more disciplined because he gets out of position way too often and leaves the back four, especially the center back, exposed. So there's got to be more discipline on his part, and he's got to be better this year if that's who the Dynamo are going to depend on.
It was like neither of those three wanted it. I know you and I talked a lot about Derek Jones. We're definitely enamored with his physical range and those things. And then, but I say, I want to sit Derek down and I want to put a bowl of, snake and scorpion soup in front of him. And I want him to digest it and become a little bit edgier, a little bit nastier, a little bit of a, holding six that's got a bit of edge to him. That's going to kick somebody once in a while. It was almost like it was just too nice last year.
You hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what the Dynamo need. There's no players that are edgy to me. I mean, Teenage Chidobe shared it some. Tim Parker shared it a little bit. And then he signed his new contract, and it seemed like something changed. But if Derek Jones, with his unbelievable athleticism and his unbelievable natural ability, were able to gain that grit and that grind and that anger when he steps on the field, like the early Dynamo teams had. Every player that stepped on the field was that way. If he could get that, he would be absolutely incredible. He would be the guy. But like you said, it seems like too nice. And
at this point, he's mid-20s now, right? If that's not something that's inherent in your nature, I'm not sure that's something that you can just manufacture. It's not an easy thing. I want to get moving on to another soundbite here. Let's go, because right now it looks like the playmaker for this team is Darwin Quintero. So let's go to when I asked Pat about Darwin Quintero and bringing him back.
I want to go back to Darwin a little bit because that was something I'd heard. Not just me. I didn't just challenge him. The high performance department challenged him and said, listen, if you want to be successful and you want to be a part of this team and get on the field, you need to come in here and you need to work in the offseason. And to his credit, he's done that. And you can see in games now, I was just walk up the field watching a five-a-side. And when he gets on the ball, he's always dangerous. So I have to give him a lot of credit. He's so far he's put his money where his mouth is, and hopefully continue that and show it on the field.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear from you. And that's great.
I understand the concern, but there's also a reason we found a price point that I think both parties were happy with, and that's why he's back this year.
Yeah. So. Pat, you're going to hear more about that in the interview. And again, these are just little clips coming out of the interview. I had asked Pat about Darwin Quintero because Darwin Quintero last year, and I know a lot of you were seduced by the amazing goals against Seattle. So was Eddie and I. We had a great time calling that game that night. Came too little too late. And when I saw him in preseason, which a lot of people didn't get the opportunity I did because of COVID, he was out of shape. And he did not look motivated. He did not look happy. And to me, looked like a clock puncher. Now, obviously, he wants to remain in Houston. He's not going to be making over $1 million. I'm going to say the Dynamo probably got him for $400,000 or $500,000. And they probably need somebody there until they can get, the 10 or the playmaker they ultimately want. And again, this is not an affront on Darwin Quintero. I mean, I'm as allured and seduced by his talent. But buy-in is what I'm wondering about. Eddie, your thoughts?
Well, there's a couple things to say here. I mean, you listen to Pat and he says 5v5. That game's not going to last more than 3 to 5 minutes. He's definitely dangerous when he gets on the ball. There's absolutely no question. When he's at his best, there are a few in Major League Soccer that are as dangerous and creative as he is. The problem is his age, his fitness level, and can he really go 90 minutes three times a week? Because the World Cup's coming in the winter, Major League Soccer's cramming games in. There are going to be a lot of games coming hard and fast. So if this is your number 10, if this is your creative player, how many games can he really play for 90 minutes? You know, do you need him? I think the Dynamo do if they don't find a number 10 to sign or somebody that, you know, they can rotate him with. I don't think he can play 30 games a year. So it's interesting. It's interesting. And you and I talked about it at the end of last season that if the Dynamo keep him, they're going to have to pay him less. But the one thing is, a lot of these guys like being in America because it's great for their family. It's good family life. So it's going to be interesting to see how Carlin comes along.
Yeah, in fairness to Pat, too. Remember, he said we're trying to get one or two guys over the finish line. So that might be a playmaker. That might have made Quintero more valuable simply just because, hey, we got to make sure we have some pieces here. May not be the ultimate piece, but we got to have pieces here when Paulo Nagamura gets in. So, you know, I think there's some other dynamics there. And we also have to remember, he left Minnesota not on great terms. Okay, all you have to do is hear Adrian Heath. So that's something. Okay, now, Quintero in a pressing style, I don't think, I agree with you. He's not going to be playing 90 minutes every game. They don't want him to, and they know we can't. So let's go to Pat Onstad on Memo Rodriguez and Darwin Quintero in regards to pressing play. Now, these are two guys that last year had very, very tough years. So here's Pat on pressing style, Memo, and Darwin.
If you're going to press and you're going to try to win the ball back, you're going to have to do that. Now, can Darwin do that for 90 minutes? That remains to be seen. Can Memo do it for 70 to 90 minutes? I don't know. I think there's been guys have seen him enough here in this city to see which one you'd probably put your money on. But at the same token, they're both talented players, and I think they play a major role in us being successful this.
And you'll hear Pat talk more about Memo and Darwin in the interview coming up in the next hour. Eddie, you know, I know you and I talked. My feelings were it would have been best for Memo to move out of Houston and go to another club and kind of get a fresh start and get out of the umbrella of what I call a bit of a love fest here in Houston.
Well, you know, it's hard.
I mean, because of being the homegrown kid.
Right. When you look across the league and the history of the league, sometimes it's best for guys to get a new environment. I mean, you can bring it right to Houston with Craig Weibel and Alejandro Moreno and Brian Mullen and Brian Ching. I mean, all those guys played in L.A., and they just needed to get out of there and into a new situation. So it's hard to judge. Only the player knows that and whether that would be beneficial for them. But I know Memo loves this city. He loves this club because he grew up in this club. And he's given so much to this organization through the academy and now into the first team that, you know, I think it would be hard for him to leave. But, you know, that's something that this organization should leave up to him. If that's something he wants to do, if he wants to move, if he thinks that's best for him, then he should be allowed to because he's put in the work here. And he's done a wonderful job, and he's represented this organization in an amazing way. And sometimes all you need is just to change scenery. Excuse me.
Well, and again, I don't want to spoil the interview because it's coming up, but Pat does address Memo. He does address that very thing. He even lets us know how Memo felt about that. So we'll tease you with that. Eddie, great stuff. We appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow down there for the Facebook Live with the Houston Dynamo. We're looking forward to doing that. And you and I are going to be hosting, and I think Bobby Boswell, some other really fun sort of Zoom events during the week that fans can sign up for. So we're all looking forward to getting off to a good start, having some fun with it, talking real soccer. Nobody's talking it more real than right here on the Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 with Glenn Davis and Eddie Robinson. Eddie, thank you tonight.
Thanks for having me, Glenn. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow. It's going to be a great event.
All right, I'll bring the coffee. That's Eddie Robinson, Dynamo commentator, Dynamo defender, all-star, multiple MLS Cups. We will be on duty tomorrow. Looking forward to it. This is the Black Crows. This is Remedy. We'll come back with Adam Lundquist, and then we will get into about 27 to 28 minutes with Pat Onstad. But I would suggest you listen to Adam Lundquist, because they both break down Sebastian Ferreira in a very, very big way, with some very interesting comments. So there is a lot of tactical talk coming up in these in this next hour. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit, and the Daspit Law Firm is DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. They'll take your case. Car, boat, motorcycle, whatever type of accident you get in, John and his firm will represent you. It's John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, presenting sponsors of this show, and they've been getting this on the air for years. We'll take a break. More to come. By the way, the Panther scored again. He's got eight now. Albert Delis for Bordeaux. In a 4-3 win over Strasbourg, he gets one.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.